Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Puzzle Parenting and Then Some. Today I want to talk about IEPs, and even though IEP season has come and gone, or it should have for most people, I wanted to let you know that it is not too late to make changes. Excuse me, I'm a little bit cruddy today. It is still summer weather here in Alabama where I live, and we still have just all kinds of allergens going on. So excuse me if I'm sniffling. Anyway, I had a conversation with a parent the other day who was very unhappy with her child's IEP. And I had told her already to call another IEP meeting, and she did. And they gave her what we like to call, or what the attorneys like to call, again, I always have to say this, I'm not a lawyer. I am a parent of a special needs child who has been down the path of suing the schools and working with the schools. And I feel like there is an opportunity for us parents to work with the schools and communicate with our special education directors to make a better way and pave a better road for not just our children, but everybody. Because if you're going to take the road, or if you're going to pave the road, you might as well pave it for all the kids, not just yours. I know there's only so much you can do for everybody else's child, but you can do what you can to make the classes better for everybody and make the school systems better for everybody and make the opportunities better for everybody. And I feel like if you're going to put the work in, you should do it for the cause, not just one, if you have the opportunity to do so. Anyway, what they in the law world like to call a cookie cutter IEP. A cookie cutter IEP is an IEP that is pretty much just very basic. It's already filled out, checked off, and ready for you to sign. A lot of IEPs are sent home like that, for you to review before an IEP meeting, and that's fine. And I always review my son's IEPs with a fine-tooth comb. My son's IEPs range from 20 to 30 pages, depending upon his goals and you know, what grade he was in. Right now he's in fourth grade, so it's a little bit longer. My son is in a contained classroom, and he does have a gen ed teacher, but he does not spend time in the general education classroom because he is severely affected by autism to the tune of he's like a 2-year-old and a 10-year-old's body, but he's the size of a 14-year-old, if that tells you anything. So he spends most of his time in the contained classroom. But he does have, we've always had this, but he changed schools this past year, and they did not have, the little battles sometimes are the ones you fight. And I know I get sidetracked sometimes, but just stay with me. Keep tracking. As my preacher always says, keep tracking. They didn't have PE for special needs children at the middle school where my son was going this year, where he had adaptive PE at the elementary school. They did not have that at the middle school. They didn't have a time carved out for it. They have more students. They have, you know, just less space. They didn't have enough teachers. Okay, all of that. Sorry, folks. Not my problem. Love you guys. Not my problem. I do try to work with the schools as much as possible, but I really did demand that time because my son is on such a demanding schedule, meaning that he works for this, that, and the other. He has to work, you know, this many minutes for a 2-minute break, and then, you know, this many minutes for this much of a break. And, you know, he really needs time to get up and move around and get that out. And I feel like that's what all the kids in school do. And if he's not going to general education and not interacting with, you know, his typical peers very much, then I think that adaptive PE, a place for him to get up and run around and be able to move in his space and, He needs that. I mean, in like a 7-hour school day, come on, guys, you know? I mean, everybody needs to get up and run around sometimes. Nobody just wants to sit around for 7 hours straight and not have any, you know, time to themselves or to be able to jump around and be a kid. I mean, come on. So we did work that in the IEP this year. Anyway, a cookie cutter IEP is not really going to be tailored to your child. It is going to be something that could fit any child. So you might see your child's name on it, their date of birth, their information, their school, and then you'll go straight into anything that you'll see online. You know, something that could be printed off of Google and fill in the blank, and they might have checked or X'd off 30 minutes of speech therapy per week, you know, and then a whole bunch of not needed checked off, like adaptive equipment, not needed, you know, just a lot of different things. They might just pick and choose what services they feel like that they can do for your child and make you feel like that you're getting something. But I'm telling you, that is not for you. It's not for your child. You want an individualized plan. That is what IEP is. Individualized educational plan. So when you're going through your child's IEP, you want to make sure that it targets multiple goals. So my son's IEP says he will, and it has his name, Jace is his name. It says Jace will be able to identify books by their cover, 9 times out of 10 trials. I mean, it's very detailed. And then a lot of times I'll go through his IEP and I'll cross things out if it's a goal that, because I keep a copy of the IEP we start with, then we'll usually get, updated versions throughout the school year, and, you know, whether or not he has met the goal or is still working towards the goal, or what percentage of the goal he has worked towards, or how far he has gotten, rather, in attaining the goal, or if he's made any progress at all, or if he hasn't, and in which case I will go in and I will cross through it and say, suggest changes, or can we change this goal? Can we modulate this? You know, because your child needs to be, if they're not getting to that goal, there was a point in time where I didn't realize this. It wasn't clicking in my mind. There's so many little things I feel like that I'm learning. I'm learning every day still, you know. I think that there's so many things that, like this, you know, like I think they left the one about the clock on his IEP in his math goals. There was something about he will learn how to tell time on a clock to the quarter hour or something like that. And was making no progress on it, and it stayed on his IEP for like a year and a half. And then I was like, "What?" I looked at it and I started looking back at the other IEPs, and I was like, "This has been on here for a year and a half. He's not getting it. So let's change the math goal. You know, let's move it around. Let's switch something up and try something different for a while, because if you're working on the same thing over and over again, then no math goals are being met. So maybe he wasn't ready for that yet. We need to move on to something else. We'll come back around to that later. Okay, got it. It's done. I think a lot of parents don't realize this, and this is something that I was talking to a parent about the other day. You know, you are a huge part of the IEP team, and you are the main component to the IEP team. So, you know, take charge. You can be polite yet firm, You know, when I was speaking with the parent the other day, I told her, I said, you have got to, she was telling me a lot of details about her children. And I said, the school is going to not, they're going to, you know, jump on those little details and, you know, maybe perhaps turn them against you if they don't want to give you the services that you need, you know, or they will harp on a detail when all that, they really just need to know facts. This is what I need. This is what I need for my child. You know, I always say ask for a little bit more and accept what you want, because if you ask for a little bit more, you might just get what you want. You know, they feel like they're getting something. You feel like you're, I mean, it's, I hate that it has to be a game, but sometimes that's just the way it is. I feel like with the school that my son goes to now, it's not that way. We have very clear lines of communication, but unfortunately, we had some rocky times getting there, and that includes changing special education directors. And the new special education director is amazing right now that we are working with, and as long as she has free rein to do what she needs to do to help my child and the other kids like my son in his classroom, then I think that she will continue to do whatever she can to help our kids succeed. But she can only do what she can do. And so I'm always prepared and always continuing to study and to make sure I know what I'm talking about. Because if you walk into an IEP meeting and you don't know what you're talking about, it is like walking into a lion's den. And I think anybody who has ever been there will attest to that. They will agree with me that you are going to be eaten up. Services, you won't get anything. You know, you'll get the bare minimum. And the bare minimum is different for everybody. It's different. I mean, the bare minimum is your child can go to school here. I mean, because that's public school. And here's an IEP. I mean, this parent that I spoke with the other day, she had a full assessment from a psychiatrist that said, this child needs ABA. This child needs occupational therapy. This child needs speech therapy. You know, she had a full assessment and they ignored every single thing she said and said, here's some speech. Have a good day. Gave her a cookie cutter. I explained to her what a cookie cutter was. I told her to call the special education director. She met with three people in her first IEP meeting, which was the teacher, the special education teacher, and I guess two aides or something, or an aide and a speech therapist. And so that was what they offered her. And when she tried to protest, they just said, you know, this is what we have to offer. And, you know, so when I spoke with her, she was quite upset, and understandably so. When I told her about FAPE, FAPE, and IDEA, IDEA, I told her to look those up, just like I spoke about in my first podcast. And I told her to, be prepared to discuss those things. But I told her first and foremost, she needed to call a special education director and just bypass the people she had already spoken with. Go directly to the special education director and say, listen, I've been given a cookie cutter IEP. I told her to be polite but firm. I am done dealing with this. This is a waste of time. And in a child's formative years of learning, you know, I wished I would have known when my child was younger, you know, when he was less than five, that those years, how important and absorbent those years are. Because, you know, when you lose those years of learning, fighting with the schools about this, that, and the other, it's so detrimental to their learning experience that sometimes they don't recover that information. Sometimes they do. My son didn't, because he continued to regress in his learning, and so he was unable to come back from that. But, you know, what's done is done, and that's why I keep trying now to help parents, and I keep trying to help my son, and, you know, we keep moving forward because we can't go back. But anyway, back to the parent, I told her to tell the special education director that her son is being robbed of his opportunity to learn and his opportunity to have a fair and appropriate public education. And that, you know, they needed to provide. And so right away, and I told her to say to the woman, what day next week is good for you for to meet with me for an IEP meeting? I told the parent not to expect a meeting right away, but to just sort of put it out there like I'm large and in charge, you know. But the woman said, how's Tuesday? So it worked out great. So she was able to get the meeting for Tuesday for her son. And you know, she went ahead. I gave her a list of things to discuss and, you know, ask for, and told her to expect about half of it. And either way, she should come out on top. And then I gave her the phone number to a lawyer if that doesn't work out, because she's not in our district, so I can't work with the special education director on her behalf, because I'm not in that district and I don't have access to that person. I don't know them, so they would not appreciate my skills, I don't think. They don't like my bartering skills as far as they don't appreciate when I say I'm trying to keep the attorneys out of this. They feel that like that's a threat. I really am trying to keep the attorneys out of it. I think that attorneys have a place in special education, a very special place. They are, most of them, not all of them, compassionate, loving people who want to help children get what they deserve educationally and what they need and what is right and good. But then there are others who want to take an existing law and a parent who doesn't know any better and just basically say, hey, school, look what you did. You broke the law again. Give me $16,000. Parent signed off on it. And then money is exchanged. They get money. Parent gets services. When we can do that, and we don't have to, you know, we don't have to involve attorneys all the time. Sometimes we do. Flex if you have to. You know my deal. I'm all about it. If you have to, do it. But if you don't, then take care of it yourself. You are your child's only advocate. I say it all the time. As a parent, that's just the way it is. So that's kind of my spiel for today about IEPs. And I wanted everybody to understand how to, you're allowed to call an IEP meeting anytime you want. It doesn't have to be March through May, you know, or the beginning of the school year. You can be mid-year, whenever, you can call an IEP meeting. A lot of people are having problems getting behavioral therapy services. That's something that is across the board. And I feel that the schools are trying to shift and find a way to meet those needs, but without great cost to them. I understand they have limited funding, but they need to do better. And a lot of times they're saying our teachers are trained. And I said this in another podcast, our teachers are trained. That's great. And I'm so glad they're trained. How often are they trained? When was the last time they had an update on their training? Can I see their certificates? Personally, my son's ABA therapist goes out once a week and works with the kids at the school and also works with the teachers. And so he gets that one-on-one with the therapist, plus he gets the teachers who are also trained. Because a teacher is, they might be trained, but they're not an ABA therapist. They're a special education teacher, and they also have other students. So it's not adequate to say your child's getting 5 days a week of ABA therapy, you know, however many hours a day that they're here, because we have trained teachers. That's not really accurate. I don't feel like that's an accurate depiction of what is actually happening, even though the school sees it that way. I don't see it that way. There's not a replacement for that. So they're not training teachers in OT and occupational therapy and saying, okay, well, they're getting 5 days a week of occupational therapy. No, they're giving them 30 minutes a week. And I guarantee you a therapist isn't doing that. An OT aide is doing it probably. And a speech therapy aide is probably administering speech therapy because that's usually how it works. They have one speech therapist or maybe two per district, and they just kind of scoot around signing off on paperwork. And so ABA is, you know, can be pulled from, I think in Alabama we have a handful of different companies that do ABA, and so our school district pulls from a certain company, and the school district that I was speaking with that other lady about, they pulled from a different company, but they can actually just hire a therapist to come out one day a week. And whenever I suggested that, I said, well, suggest it for the class, not just your child, but, you know, for all the kids in the class, because it's great to have everybody work with them. And also, if your child needs an aide, that's something that needs to be put on the IEP. If your child needs potty training, it needs to be on the IEP. Everything that your child needs, PE, you know, bus riding, transportation, you know, if they need a harness, it all has to be on the IEP. I learned that the other day because my son got up out of his seat on the bus. Well, he didn't have anything on his IEP that said he needed a harness, so I had to go through an IEP meeting to get that done. Granted, we were able to do it via phone because I do have that relationship, and I suggest you start building that relationship, because not having a relationship with these people that are with your child so much is, that could be detrimental to your child's education. I know that, you know, a lot of people, you know, you're working, you're busy, you might have other kids, but take a minute, you know, like take a minute to get to know your special education teacher. I mean, I'm not saying that I'm bribing my special education teacher, but I'm saying that if she tells me she needs something, I'm going to make sure she gets it. I'm going to do everything I can. If I have to go, you know, talk to the other parents and try to collect money for a project, I'm going to make sure that she tries, I do my best to get what she need, get her what she needs. That doesn't get my son any better grades or anything. It just, or any more attention. It's the fact that she knows that I care, and this is a new teacher, so we're just getting to know each other. But I want them all to know that I care. I'm here for it. I'm down. You know, we're in this together. And I always tell them that. We're in this together. We're all in this together. And so it's not easy, but it just is the way it is. And in my area, Special Olympics are coming up. And this has been a topic of conversation because, you know, Special Olympics is a big deal, and my city hosts. We have a huge ballpark with a field. We have a Miracle League field here, so our city is really involved in the Special Olympics and all that stuff. So we host here and everything. But my son did it 2 years in a row. When he was in kindergarten, we pushed him through it. I mean, drug him through it. I mean, it was just, bless his heart, he was not into it. But he did it, and then the second year, total meltdown. Just, it was horrible, and people were videoing him, and the staff had to go around and try to take everyone's cameras and their iPads and try to delete the videos of my son having a meltdown, and it was terrible. And so we just decided, you know, this is not for him. It's too loud. You know, it's okay sometimes to say, you know, in anything, this goes for anything. with your kid. I feel like that so many parents are like, okay, well, you know, my kid needs to play ball. And like with us having Miracle League out here, so we were pressured so much. Why are y'all not involved in Miracle League? It's right down the street. You know, get involved in Miracle League. It's not for my child. He doesn't like it. He doesn't like the loud noises. He doesn't like being out in the heat. He doesn't like being surrounded by a bunch of people. He likes his people and the people that he knows. He likes to meet new people, but he doesn't want to be surrounded by a ton of strangers. He doesn't like the clapping. He doesn't like the bands playing at the Special Olympics. It's okay to say, this is not for my child or this is not for us, but thank you for trying to include us, you know. Like there are some sensory events, like movies and things like that. We've tried to take my son to. We usually get about halfway through it or a third of the way through it, and then he's done. And so we get up and leave, and that's fine, you know. I mean, it's just when he starts disturbing others, we exit, and that's okay. But, you know, it's good to try, you know. The jumpy place, oh my gosh, he loves the jumpy place, but mostly when it's empty. When there are other kids there, he doesn't really like it because it gets loud. And then we get into how do we get him back to the car? Oh my gosh, this is a disaster. You know, I mean, you just have to pick your battles. And while I don't want him to miss out on life, and we did get adaptive equipment, like we got him a stroller, which looks more like a wheelchair because of his size. And he has a car seat and things like that to help him get around without, you know, incidents. He loves going to the botanical gardens and, you know, things like that because it's quiet there. And he can ride around in his seat, or he can get up and walk around without, you know, a lot of loud noises and things of that nature. Going to the zoo is a big no. I just wanted everybody to understand that it's okay if your child can't participate. Like, it's okay to say no to zoo parties and birthday parties that are, you know, of typical children where there's going to be 50 kids there and you know that your child can't handle it. It's okay. I feel like that my friends have, you know, they've accepted it. My friends have, but, you know, some people of the outer circle just think that we don't love them. And I've had to explain to them that my son just can't do it. And, you know, that's the reason we don't come to their child's birthday parties. It has nothing to do with the way that we feel about them. It's just that he's not down for it. He doesn't have any love for it. So I don't want to put him through something, number one. Number two, ruin somebody's birthday party. And number three, somebody could get you know, hurt potentially, you know, if my son's pitching a fit and, you know, knocks something over or whatever, it could happen. And I'm always just looking at the bigger picture. You know, what's enjoyable for him is going to be enjoyable for everybody involved. What's not enjoyable for him is going to be miserable for everybody involved. And why would I want to put him through something like that? So it's okay to say no. It's okay to say we can't do that. We're not, you know, equipped for that. And it's also okay to say, you know, we're prisoners in our own home, which is something that I told my son's doctor at first, you know, before we got adaptive equipment. I said, we're prisoners in our own home. We need a way to get him around. So that's how we got the stroller and everything. So we were able to get him out and take him to the botanical gardens and take him, you know, riding around to the food trucks and stuff like that where it's quiet. And, you know, doesn't mean that we have to go to parties, just means that we can get around. I think you need to learn your child's boundaries, learn your own boundaries, and what you're willing to accept. I hear so many parents, and this is not just special needs parents, these are so many parents, just mostly typical parents, even today, just, you know, a typical parent, parent of a typical child, complaining about things, but they don't want any help. So if you're willing to make a complaint about it, be willing to help get some help for it. If you're willing to make a complaint about it, be willing to help get it done. So be willing to step out there. Be willing to say, okay, I need this, and let's do it together. Take some advice, absorb it, and push on. Instead of saying, I want to complain, but I don't want to do anything about it. That is called venting. If you want to vent, if you want to talk and you don't want any advice, that's fine, but say what you're saying. Don't say, I sure wish things were different. And then when somebody tries to help you, you don't accept that help. Instead, you continue to complain without taking any action. That is really, that's so annoying to me, because I've been in that position before so many times, trying to help people who say they want help, they need help. And so I go down that path and I try to help them. They're like, oh, well, I don't want to drive 30 minutes to do this. The school offers this, but I don't want to drive 30 minutes to do it. You know, can't they bring it to me? No. What do you think this is? This isn't Burger King. Can't have it your way. You're going to have to take some steps. You know, I mean, be willing to step out there. Sometimes the truth hurts. Sometimes you have to absorb other people's experiences and understand that, you know, this person went through this. I might have to go through this. Am I willing to go through this to get to my goal? These are all things you need to think about before you start taking steps towards anything in life. I mean, not just a special education IEP or getting adaptive equipment or whatever we're talking about. Even typical parents complain about, I keep saying typical parents, parents of typical children complain about, I was reading somebody complaining about bullying today, but they weren't willing to do anything about it. They were watching some other parents' kids get bullied, but they didn't want to get involved. Well, that's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard ever. You're a participant then. If you are not trying to fix a problem, you are a part of a problem. And that is something that I firmly believe in. I don't think that anybody will ever change my mind about that. If you're not willing to be a part of fixing the problem, you are part of the problem. So I think that's all I have for today. That's a half hour of no outline, just me talking about my experiences of the week. And I hope that it helped somebody, and I hope you come back and see me next week. Bless up and bless out.